In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. I bring you greetings from your neighbors at St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Glassboro. I am thrilled to be here with you this morning, and I'm even more thrilled that Father Ben is filling the pulpit in the presider's chair back in Glassboro. Ben and I, along with several other local priests, meet together most weeks for Bible study and prayer. This has become an important rhythm in my life, something that empowers me and encourages me for ministry in this place. And often when I meet with our little community and hear Ben's understandings of Scripture, I'll say to myself, St. Thomas needs to hear Ben Madison. In our group, we each bring our own strengths, our own understandings, our own perspectives on Scripture. I believe that St. Thomas will be better off for having heard the particular ways in which the Holy Spirit chooses to speak through Ben this morning. And my prayer is that by the grace of God, that same Spirit will also empower me to utter some word that might be profitable for you. To that end, I'd like to begin this morning with a question. Why do you go to church? Right? What is it that you are looking for that got you out of bed on this beautiful morning and brought you into a pew? That's a question that I love to ask at St. Thomas. It's a question I love to ask in vestry meetings, because it's a question that I spend a lot of time thinking about myself. And what I've noticed over the years is that my answer has changed. Now, yesterday, due to Father Ben's generosity in filling in a service for me at St. Thomas, I was able to go to Delaware to attend a funeral for Dr. Charles Moore. You may not have heard of him, but I did because he was the minister in my parents' church when I was growing up. He served there for almost 50 years. He baptized me when I was 9 years old. And Mr. Moore spent a lifetime looking for something. Right? He spent a lifetime seeking God, telling others about Jesus, both in actions and in words. And one of Mr. Moore's most notorious messages, most well-known messages, is how he declared that the work of the kingdom of God is in everything that you do. The work of the kingdom of God is in everything you do. It's not just about going to church on Sundays. It's much wider than that. Right? It's about your job. And it's about your hobbies, your leisure time. It's about your relationships. It's about your family. It's about your neighbors. It's about everything. And so if the kingdom of God is about everything we do, then why do we come to church? Now, our gospel reading this morning tells the story of Jesus encountering two different people in the synagogue. Right? There are a bunch of people there, but our gospel writer only mentions these two people. The synagogue was that place of worship that, for our purposes this morning, we might say corresponds to roughly to what we call church. And so in the synagogue, there was a woman who was crippled by an infirmity that had left her bent over double for the past 18 years, perpetually bowing and looking subservient, living with intense and constant back pain. Can you even imagine? And then there was also a synagogue president, kind of the leader of that community. Maybe we might call him the senior warden. Now, the woman in our story is not a churchgoer. She's a synagogue goer. Why did she go to synagogue? Probably it was her habit to do so every Sabbath, just like the other people there. Maybe she had heard that there was going to be a special speaker that week, and so she made a special effort to be there because they had heard that that itinerant preacher, Jesus, had been making some waves. Right? If you've been listening the past few weeks in church, our gospel readings have told about Jesus saying and doing things that the prophets did. Right? Jesus called out the rich. He questioned people's motivations. He challenged assumptions about wealth and poverty and God and man. And Jesus has been healing people. Maybe the woman was a regular synagogue goer. Maybe she was just curious. Or maybe she showed up because she had a need. A need that no one else could fill except Jesus. Whatever the reason for her presence, this woman didn't have to speak a word, right? Her bent over back spoke for her. And so Jesus called her up and healed her. And immediately she opened up her mouth and praised God. Right? Isn't that what we would do? Well, maybe not all of us, right? Because there's another character in our story. There's the leader of the synagogue. Why did he come to synagogue today? Almost certainly it was his habit to do so every Sabbath. Maybe he made a special effort because he was hosting a special speaker this week. Right? Do you know about hosting special speakers? I hear there's one coming up. So the synagogue leader knew that Jesus was going to be there. And whether he was more interested in hearing Jesus or simply interested in providing the proper hospitality for all those people who were going to come see Jesus, it was going to be a big week for him. This was a man with responsibilities, with obligations. Now, the purpose of a synagogue, sort of like a church, is to provide a place where people can gather to learn about God and to worship. And so in a synagogue, the weekly worship has a whole rhythm to it, right? A well-established liturgy. It's something that brings people comfort and helps people draw close to God just by its familiarity and its predictability. And so the synagogue ruler was there to facilitate the worship of God's people, to provide a context for the people to encounter God. And that is a good and worthy thing. And yet, when Jesus heals this woman, the synagogue ruler's reaction is decidedly negative. He doesn't chide Jesus directly, but all the people standing around, he's determined to maintain order, and yet Jesus has gone off script. The synagogue ruler came to synagogue to observe the Sabbath as carefully and as piously as he might. And from his point of view, Jesus was messing things up. Now, presumably, both the woman and the man came to the synagogue in order to encounter God. And that's why we go to church, right? But notice how differently they respond when God in the flesh actually shows up. When Jesus walks into their midst in bodily form and does his thing, these two worshipers respond very differently. The synagogue ruler earns the label hypocrite, because when God shows up, he responds with fear and rigidity. Hypocrite is a Greek word that means actor. The synagogue ruler was acting like he was serving and seeking God, but when God showed up, it turned out that wasn't what he wanted after all. I wonder if sometimes our devotion to duty might interfere with Jesus' attempts to love us. We're working so hard to do the right thing that we're not able to encounter God. Because if the Bible tells us anything, it is that God has a knack for showing up in unexpected ways. God ranges far past the bounds of human imagination and expectation. And comprehending God in the room requires a healthy flexibility that sometimes we lack. The purpose of worship, the purpose of prayer, the purpose, the reason to go to church is to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts for the shock when God actually shows up. Right? It's to learn how to maybe have a chance of recognizing God's presence in our lives from moment to moment and day to day when God shows up in our lives. Now, the woman who went to synagogue that day, she had a very clear idea of what she was looking for. She was showing up for the sake of duty, right? It's Sabbath, you go to synagogue. She had her own pieties, her own ways of understandings about how to approach God. But when Jesus changed the script, when Jesus said, come over here, she didn't say, wait, that's not how it goes. The gradual hymn is next. You're missing it. Right? No, she responded. She came over there, and Jesus healed her, and she cried out, hallelujah, and praised God. And so Jesus did not give her the label hypocrite. She wasn't an actor. She was the real thing. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. Because in her, everyone could see the fulfillment of God's steadfast covenant of love. So I go to church, not because it's my job. I'm deeply grateful to have the privilege for it to be my job, but that's not why I go to church. I am here today with you because I am looking for Jesus. I think the history, the pieties, the traditions of the Episcopal Church, they are a great gift to me. Right? They are a great help in my search for Jesus. They inform my search. They help me learn how to recognize when God shows up. But they're not the reasons I get out of bed and go put myself in a pew in the morning. I too want to be a son of Abraham. I too want to be a disciple of Christ. So why do you go to church? What did you come here to find today? What will you lose if you find it? What will you gain? And are you ready to take the risk?